Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Cinco de Mayo has become a big deal in the U.S. in recent years, but it is not a major holiday in Mexico. It is the commemoration of a Mexican military victory over France, as Garrison Keillor just told us in Writer's Almanac. It was actually a marketing push by Corona Beer that created the Cinco de Mayo we know today, filled with parties, food, and, of course, lots of drink. St. Patrick's Day has a similar disconnect between the holiday in the home country and the way it's celebrated here in the States. Here now to speak about how the U.S. appropriates ethnic and cultural holidays from other countries, we welcome Culinary Institute of America professors Beth Forrest and Deirdre Murphy. A great pleasure to have you both with us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I love having you on the program. So what do you make of when I was a kid? I don't think it was until maybe about 5, 4, 5, 6 years ago that I remember Cinco de Mayo really being on my radar. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Well, I think it depends whose radar you're talking about. Certainly across mainstream America, yes, I would say it was really late 90s, early 2000s. And as you said, it was through a large push of marketing. Mm-hmm. But I think the way that it was done is fascinating. In there's a one of the early commercials that Corona did was they set a stage in Ireland and said, you know, if you're in Ireland for Ireland's favorite holiday, and of course the backdrop is Irish music and the rolling emerald green hills and a guy
sheep.
In tweed, you know, sheep. And then he opens the door and all of a sudden, you know, it switches from the Celtic music to the mariachi music, and the bartender, Seamus probably, is wearing a sombrero and holding up Corona beer. That's when you start seeing the push of introducing it to the American public as this day of celebration of really drinking. And they do it through an established holiday, which is St. Patrick's Day. We're already used to celebrating this ethnic marker day. Mm-hmm. And now we see taking that same idea and then switching it to this other culture.
One of the things that if you talk about something arriving, and I don't, you know, there's many ways to look at this, but I have to say on my on the printed calendars, the blotter calendars or calendars that you get, I noticed that now Cinco de Mayo is on the calendar. It didn't used to, like, it would be printed right up there with 4th of July and St. Patrick's Day.
Sure.
And so it's there now.
It's there now. Now it exists.
Yes, now it exists.
But I think your comment a few minutes ago when you said that you became aware of this maybe 4 or 5 or 6 years ago and you weren't aware of it before, That's really pretty interesting, right? And of all the stupid commercials there are in the world, I think the one that you just referenced, right, of Cinco de Mayo in Ireland is really pretty sly, because it references, I think, this quirky and unexpected history, really, that isn't just Cinco de Mayo, but it's a lot of our holidays that we become conscious of and celebrate and are happy about from really weird ways or unexpected ways. In the United States, we construct so many of our holidays, and we construct them for specific reasons, but those reasons are diverse. So the celebrations we see hide quite a lot, or what's behind them or driving them originally isn't so apparent.
Well, of course, they're religious holidays, and mm-hmm. those mm-hmm. we can and they make more sense. We can understand them and as how they've evolved in our world history. But when you talk about things that are, you know, like Mother's Day or Father's Day, or how things like this come about, it is interesting because we ingest the Kool-Aid.
Right. Or the beer or the tequila.
Or the tequila, right. Green beer.
But we somewhat change the meaning, I would suggest. I mean, if you're talking about Cinco de Mayo in Puebla, Mexico, it is the celebration of a military battle.
A victory.
And in the early years after 1862, so 1863 and whatnot, you have Mexicans in California celebrating it as this almost idea that's tied to democracy and freedom, right? Mm-hmm. Not unimportant. You have the Civil War in America as the backdrop, which is also going to be tied to these larger ideas of political consequence. If you're talking about Cinco de Mayo today, I think we can shift the cultural meaning to one of multiculturalism. Right. That's going to come up from the late 60s and 70s that it's good to celebrate one's ethnic diversity.
Right. So we do that with the Irish culture and St. Patrick's Day. We're starting now to do this with Mexican heritage and with Cinco de Mayo. You're shaking your head.
Yeah, I'm kind of shaking my head. Yes and no, both at the same time, because that's just so. Yeah. Here's the thing, right? If you can. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, when you read about it now, people. So that's the label that's being put on it. Is it? It's a day that we can celebrate that heritage.
Sure.
Whether we're involved personally or not.
Right. But I think I think that the it's the we that matters, right? And so if you're going to talk about celebration of multiculturalism, that's loaded, right? So if you look at St. Patrick's Day as a comparative moment in cultural history and the celebration of holidays, one of the things that we know about St. Patrick's Day is, that's celebrated as a feast day within the Catholic Church for centuries, going back, 1,000 years. But St. Patrick's Day in the United States becomes important by the early 1850s. And if you think about that moment, right, and that assertion of ethnic pride, that's an assertion of ethnic pride for a fragile and battled ethnic group in the United States. They started coming here after the potato famine really took hold in 1845. By the early 1850s in the United States, they're gathering themselves together as an important voting bloc. They're taking up spaces in their parishes, in cities, particularly in the Northeast, but across the country. And they are still Catholic outsiders and seen as ethnic and even racial outsiders in the United States. So St. Patrick's Day, if you look at what's driving that, that's an assertion of ethnic pride by an immigrant group with increasing power. And they're also asserting their loyalty to the United States and their frustration with Great Britain at the same time. Cinco de Mayo, I think, currently it's a much more hotly debated. There's even recent controversy around it, too.
Well, I think the issue becomes that it's an easy way to celebrate multiculturalism, but when you get down to it, it's not dealing with the difficult issues related to multiculturalism, of the racism, of the divisiveness of hearing Spanish spoken on the streets of the United States, right? So where is our multiculturalism really lying? Is it simply with putting on some music and drinking tequila and Mexican beer for the day? Or is it dealing with how we consider ourselves as Americans? Are we really multicultural? Are we accepting of everything, or just of the good times, the happy times?
We want an excuse sometimes, right?
Totally.
We want an excuse to have a party, to do whatever.
And that's what I was just thinking of. It's like we can talk about these holidays in terms of who they're representing or who wants a voice or what's behind them. I think a lot of what's behind them, and you can do this. I mean, you can look at St. Pat's in the same way. You can look at Valentine's Day in the same way. Thanksgiving, even. All of them we're exhausted. Our work days are very long. We need a drink, and it sounds
she's
like.
She's so Irish.
I don't even know what to say. But I think it's so American too, really. So we look for an excuse to have a holiday. And one of the things we think about even currently, and I think in these holidays that we construct, you may not like the meaning of the holiday, but you never give up the day off. If you don't like the meaning, you change the meaning, you keep the day off, because that's the fight of your life is your free time.
So keeping in mind that you both work for the Culinary Institute of America, and keeping in mind that our next hour we're going to be talking about food and drink associated with this holiday, so should we feel guilty?
No, never.
Of course not.
Never feel guilty around food.
And actually, the Catholic Church would tell you that you don't have to feel guilty, because one of the reasons that if you go back...
Has the Catholic Church ever told us not to feel guilty? I'm sorry.
It spends most of its time telling us to feel guilty.
About this. I
always feel guilty.
No, Boston. Boston has this unusual caveat that if St. Patrick's Day falls on a Friday,
yes,
you are allowed to eat corned beef.
You get the dispensation.
Yeah, during Lent.
Yeah,
right,
sure.
Right.
Yeah.
So, no, I think what is important to remember is to try and, I think, learn more about a culture, right? And the people who are part of this culture and how your relationship is with the culture. Because food is one of the easiest and best ways to have an entry into another group's life.
And that is... And you can only sort of see this growing, right? You can only see this when we talk about Cinco de Mayo of gaining traction, where more and more people are interested and involved.
Absolutely, and I think more cities are going beyond just the food and the drink, and they are becoming multicultural. Or cultural extravaganza of having musical performances, of having dance performances. If you go down to Puebla, Mexico, again, it's a month-long celebration of Latin culture. Yeah. And so I think across America, as demographics are shifting, you're also seeing it not just become this one day of where you go out to your local bar with friends, but it's becoming a way to experience the entire culture.
I think that's a reasonably optimistic take on it, and I think it's an importantly optimistic take on it. And I for me, the leavening is one that comes from Thanksgiving, right? We all know, you know, Thanksgiving is not about what happens in 1621; it's about what happens in 1863, when Sarah Josepha Hale, who's just been advocating for Thanksgiving for 40 years, finally under the Lincoln presidency, it's made a national holiday and it's fixed as the last Thursday in November. But you know, if we go back to those origins of Thanksgiving, it's all about who gets a seat at the table, right? And I think that idea of who gets a seat at the table, like, we can extend those to these all these holidays we construct, and we can look past their reinforcement of ugly stereotypes, like, we all want to drink beer like Irish people do, yeah, or, you know, we all want tequila like the Mexicans. You got to get past this, right? Because that's, you know, romanticizing ethnic groups in disturbing ways. But how are people claiming a seat at the table? How are they fighting for their places as counting as a citizen? And I think that's the backstory here as well. Yeah,
it's all fascinating stuff. We're going to continue our conversation and talk much more about Cinco de Mayo and talk more about the when it comes to food and drink and some of the ways to celebrate. But I thank you so much for putting it into a context for us. Deirdre Murphy is a professor of liberal arts at the Culinary Institute of America in Hyde Park. Beth Forrest is an associate professor of liberal arts. I thank you so much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you both here.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.